Hello, Tri-City area, Columbus, Georgia, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down in South Georgia and South Alabama listening to us here, all out of Eufaula and other areas down there along the Chattahoochee River. I know it's Sunday, and I hope you guys are getting some good fishing in down there. I heard some of the bass and catfish are biting pretty good around this time of year out there on the river. So if you're an outdoor person, I hope you're enjoying it. Today is Sunday, June the 17th. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the amazing fathers out there. You know, it takes a lot to be a father, not just be a dad. Now we got too many dad donors out there that you know, making kids, not quite taking care of them. But you know, we got to get that community concept back. We got to reinstitute fathers again that are vibrant and involved and engaged and enthused and excited about being in their children's lives. And so I'm just happy about all the father examples out there that I do see, and there are so many. I'm certainly going to stay away from naming anybody on this particular day, but you know who you are. I salute you, my dads. Thank you for what you do, and happy Father's Day to everyone out there today. I know it's Father's Day, but last week I had an amazing conversation with two young ladies who talked about being young black female professionals in Columbus, Georgia, and some of the things that they encounter and just some tips and some knowledge they were able to share. And that was so amazing. And I wanted to kind of continue that theme today by and I invited two amazing women to be with me here today as well. When I introduce them here shortly, you're going to know exactly who they are and who I'm talking about. But, you know, we just have so many women that are doing phenomenal things all throughout this area. Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, down in Fort Gaines, down near Eufaula, down near Dothan, over in Phoenix City, up near LaGrange, you know, the different parts of the city here in Columbus. We just have so many doing so many great things. And, you know, a true person working for real service, they don't look for a pat on the back. They don't look for a thank you. They don't look for anyone to tell them that, you know, they're doing an amazing job. They just do it because they want to do it. They do it because their hearts are in it. They do it because, for many of them, that's their mission from God. And I respect that, and I appreciate that. And oftentimes when I call people that are doing work in the community to come be on my show, you know, one of the first things they say is, you know, well Teddy, I appreciate the invite, but I'm not doing this for any type of recognition. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that. But I call my guests because I appreciate what they are doing. I think largely the community appreciates what they are doing, the sacrifices that they are making, being away from their families, being away from their children, putting portions of their profession on hold to be of service to others. You know, I was talking with my guest here a little earlier, and I said, you know, one of the things one of my mentors always said to me is that the service that we give to the community and society is our rent for being here on this earth. And that is so profound, because if we can't lift a finger to help someone else, if we can't be a waymaker for someone else, then why are we here? And what are we doing? And what's our purpose? And most importantly, are we being selfish? Because I promise you, I don't care who you are, I don't care who your parents are, I don't care what you've been through, and I don't care what you're going through right now. If you look back over your life at some point, from the moment you took your first bit of air when the doctor slapped you on your booty to the point to where you are right now, I promise you, somebody did something for you that didn't expect anything. They didn't ask for money. They didn't ask for a trade-off. They didn't ask for anything. They just did it for you, whether or not you knew it. So that's the way we should be sometimes. We should just do it. And I'm going to stop running my mouth, and I'm going to get my guests in here, because I'm sure they have a lot to say. I am honored again today to be joined by two phenomenal women that are doing amazing things here in the Columbus community. And they're doing it from different spectrums. However, the work that they're doing collectively is having a huge impact on us all over here in the Columbus area. I have with me, first I want to introduce Dr. Delta Outley. Pastor Outley.
Hey, Teddy.
How you doing today?
I'm wonderful. You was preaching there for a minute, brother. Get your amen going. Good to see you, Teddy.
It is good to see you, too. You are a busy woman on the move, making things happen. Starting organizations to fit the need of the community. And you know, we're going to get into your organization.
Okay.
But I wanted to just let you know officially right now, that's why I appreciate so much what you're doing, because you saw a need and you addressed it. You didn't come here with some ready-made program and say, I'm going to make this fit in the area.
No.
Because I truly feel every community has specific needs. Now, we may generally share some of the same issues, but we have our own problems. Do you agree?
I agree 100%.
So what was the motivation behind, say, Standing Against Violence in Education? That's your organization, right?
Correct.
Standing Against Violence in Organization. Talk to us about that motivation behind that, and what are you guys working on right now? And what can the community get involved with your organization?
First of all, thank you for having me, Teddy. I am excited to be here. My passion and my burden started in 2016. When I picked up the newspaper and turned on the TV and was on social media and saw where there has been 3 murders in the Yupatah area, mm-hmm. Not knowing I really knew that family. Going back, I did the wedding and I officiated the wedding for Robert and his wife. So mm-hmm. At that time, it really became personal. And I think that,
and if I'm not mistaken, just to make sure we're on the same call, that was Gloria Short
and Robert
and the young man and the young lady,
yes,
that was murdered out in Yupatah.
In Yupatah.
Okay.
First murder in 2016, mm-hmm. It just grabbed my heart. And after that, 2016, I started seeing the number of homicide in our area go up. 2017, it doubled.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that our city is not the place I grew up in, and there was nothing being done as a organization to stand against violence education or stand against the violence in our very front and backyard. So I said, nobody else will get involved. I'll take this leap of faith.
And you know, and that was a very challenging period, because you know, I almost felt like as a city, we were becoming desensitized.
Correct.
To murders.
Correct.
They were happening so often that they didn't bother us.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Yupatah incident transpired, when the Yupatah murders, let's call it what it is, transpired, that sent a jolt through the community.
Yes.
I think that touched everybody in a particular way that, at least for that moment, brought our attention to what was happening in our communities.
Yes, sir. From the point of policing, from the point of schools, gang members,
right.
Churches in particular, faith-based communities, and anybody can be a part of what we're doing, because it's everybody's concern. It's a global issue. And I just had to step forward with the help of God. It
mm-hmm.
was not me. It was an act of God.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you did, because there were some people that, versus them utilizing their energy to make a difference, they were becoming increasingly frustrated with our elected officials, because we were constantly hearing, well, mm-hmm. if you look at it historically, murders are down. I don't care if they're up or down. We don't want anybody to die.
Exactly. If we lose one in our city, including Phoenix City,
right.
and Columbus, one too many, and most of them look like us.
Right. Most of them do look like us, and a lot of the problems are in our community, which is why I'm glad that your organization is out there standing against violence and providing education for it. Because, you know, as I said a couple weeks ago over in Phoenix City, at a community rally to stop violence,
mm-hmm.
we're deteriorating our own communities from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Communities is not what they used to look like when we had the village. The village is now gone, and we are in a place of a crisis. And the crisis is that we have more black on black, and not all blacks are bad and all blacks
right.
are doing bad.
Right.
We just need to take our hands and put it around our brothers and sisters in love and action.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. And I love that. So your organization is Standing Against Violence in Education, and we're going to come back to it. And you're impacting, connecting, and educating the community on how we can stand against violence collectively, how we can regain our voice, how we can gain control again of our communities and make it a safe haven for our elderly population as well as our young people.
Correct.
And that is so important and just so critical. And we also have with us today Miss Tanetta Holt.
Yes.
How you doing, Miss Holt?
I'm great, and you?
We got to get you in on this conversation because being Dr. Outlet, we gone. We down the road.
It's good.
So we got Tanetta Holt with us today. And Tanetta, you work for the West Central Georgia Cancer Coalition.
Yes.
Talk about your role a little bit.
My role is the Regional Education Coordinator. So In so many words, I do community outreach, education, and offer screenings and do advocacy and navigation for cancer patients or anyone in our community that needs services, whether it's with me or someone else, I can kind of get them there. So most of the time I'm out and about offering our free mammogram programs to those that are uninsured and underinsured. Mm-hmm. So you may have insurance, but there are times that people are in times where they cannot afford a copay or the deductible that's happening because the times we're in, insurance has increased. So we're here to offer our services. That's pretty much what we do. Ensure that everyone is being screened, making their preventive marks in their lives to ensure that we're all making our marks and make sure that we've continued to be self-aware of our bodies and our health.
Yeah, and that is so critical because, you know, I don't mind sharing this with people. I'm very vocal about this, but I grew up as a country boy. Mm-hmm. Over in Wilkerson County, Georgia, just east of Macon, population about 9,000 in the whole county. So you could fit my entire county probably over in Whitten Hills or over there, you know, one of these, one of our local communities.
Right.
But my grandmother, in conversations with her, she would tell me, you know, Teddy, we didn't worry about or hear anything about cancer when I was young. Mm-hmm. We didn't have these issues. And one thing that they did differently was we grew a lot of our own food.
Mm. Right.
Collard greens, peas, corn, you know, cucumber. We were out there picking them. We out there growing it, you know, tilling that garden, flipping that soil, you know, getting it ready. And so a lot of things were natural.
Right.
And I'm not telling anybody to stop eating, but I don't think we truly understand the long-term implication that a lot of the chemicals that we digest now, what it's doing to our bodies.
We have to be very aware, and I, even myself, are very aware of what I'm putting into my body. So even when cancer patients are diagnosed, their whole diet changes, their whole lifestyle thing changes because they can't continue to eat the way they used to eat. Mm-hmm. Because now their body's ingesting a medication, whether it be chemotherapy or radiations, the Rezembus, but they just cannot eat the way they used to. And a lot of people are going back in becoming what they say naturalist and vegan and things like that, and just going back to the basics, eating fresh fruits and vegetables. You know, sometimes you are people in a situation where they cannot afford it. Eating healthy is expensive. So what you can do is, if you got, you know, still doing canned, sometimes you can do frozen. If you have to do canned because of the cost, you can rinse them off with water and just start on you something like a low sodium chicken broth just to start with and control what you're putting in.
Right.
That's the way you can do it because I encounter people every day that cannot afford. They're making choices between eating, between the light bill, between everything, and just basic living.
But that's reality.
It's reality.
And that was the second part of what I was transitioning to with you, is that healthcare has been a taboo subject in the Black community for a long time anyway.
Yeah.
For a very long time. For many years, many of our family members and people in our culture, we didn't have the solid jobs that provided the necessary health insurance to to have regular doctor appointments, and we had our home remedies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like you remember, I remember if I had, you know, the heartburn, I would get a teaspoon of baking soda and a cap full of vinegar and throw it in there. When it started bubbling, you drink it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, so there are a lot of home remedies that we would engage in, and we didn't have a love fest, if you will, with the healthcare profession.
Right.
And that's taken a toll on our community and our people.
It is.
Because we have high rates of diabetes, high rates of cholesterol, you know, heart disease and everything else in our communities. That's causing challenges as well.
I think a lot of it is what we'll call our health literacy, mm-hmm. as far as health education. Do we really understand? Do they know? Because some people just don't know. And some people, like, you know, you go back, what is your family history? It was never maybe sit down and discuss, because they didn't, like you said, didn't have those issues. So when it came out, oh, they just got sick and they died or whatever. So my thing is, when I'm out education, what do you know about your family? What are you doing for yourself? Are you being proactive in make sure you're getting your health screenings? Because it is an issue in our African American community, especially with our African American men and women. But with the men, you know, dealing with, they don't want the screening with the prostate screenings. They don't want to go to colorectal cancer because it's, you know, it's a man thing of coming from the rear end. Mm-hmm. And for our women, ladies, even the breast cancer, oh, I just don't want to because it hurts. Well, it doesn't. It does not hurt at all. It just makes you uncomfortable, but it doesn't hurt. But I'm experiencing, you know, younger women in the 30s and 20s are experiencing breast cancer at the stage, and they're just, and it's something to see. Mm-hmm. Even for me, when I first came on at the Western Georgia Cancer Clinic, we had a client that was 15 years old that passed away of cervical cancer. To me, that is awful.
How old?
15.
15?
Cervical cancer.
Cervical cancer?
Yes. She passed away, and it was, it gripped me at that very point. Like, there was no reason that young lady should have died. Not knowing what was a lack of, I don't know what was education, what was a lack of just understanding or fear, or maybe had something going on, and she didn't want to say anything was going on with her body. But the point is, now she's faced with cervical cancer, mm-hmm. and she has to go through the chemo treatments, have to go through this. And for me personally, to see that and experience that, it was too much. And it was, I was like, what can I do, or our organization do? So what we have done is we promote cervical cancer, but we also talk about HPV, because, you know, there are some forms of HPV that mm-hmm. lead to cervical cancer. Mm-hmm. So you have to be proactive in understanding and knowing. So just because you don't know, that means you can't seek out. So I take everyone I encounter as if they don't know.
Right.
As if not, and to educate them or give them, you know, materials to show them.
Right.
You know, it's okay to ask questions.
Wow.
You should.
Wow. I tell you, man, I tell you, wow, I'm just blown right now, and further impressed with Dr. Outley as well as you, Tanetta, hold on, the work you're doing. As we prepare to take this little short break and come back and continue our conversation here on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, I just want to give you the contact information again for the women, the amazing women that we have here in the studio today, talking about their individual causes and what they're passionate about and what moves them. And again, that's Dr. Delta Outley, the CEO and founder of Standing Against Violence with Education. That's SAVE, S-A-V-E, Standing Against Violence Education. Mm-hmm. And it's all about impacting, connecting, and educating. And you can reach her at 706-442-3963. Or you can send her an email at savethecommunityorg.gmail. That's savecommunityorg@gmail.com. Let me say that one more time. That's savecommunityorg@gmail.com. And we also have Tanetta Hope, the Regional Education Coordinator for the West Central Georgia Cancer Coalition. She just gave us a heart-touching story of a 15-year-old that died from cervical cancer. It's never too late to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves and make sure we're connected from a health perspective. If you have questions, you can reach Ms. Hope, Tanetta Hope, at 706-660-1914. That's 706-660-1914. And their website is www.wcgcc.org. That's www.wcgcc.org, which is basically West Central Georgia Cancer Coalition. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sunday Conversation. This is Teddy Reese. We are having an amazing conversation today with two phenomenal women that are on their mission to make a difference here in the Chattahoochee Valley. We have Ms. Tanetta Hope with the West Central Georgia Cancer Coalition that's talking to us about cancer education. We also have with us Pastor Delta Outley with Standing Against Violence Education. Her organization focuses on impacting, connecting, and educating. Now, we're going to jump right back in with the ladies and make sure that we maximize our time today.
Yes.
Dr. Outley and Ms. Holt, before both of you, with this particular question here, it's interesting to me as I look at both of your organizations, though, you know, on their face, they're strikingly different. Mm-hmm. What they both have in common is that they're working to save lives. You're saving lives through, Ms. Holt, through healthcare and cancer treatment and education, and you're saving lives, Dr. Outley, by trying to reconnect our community, to curb the violence, to educate our community against violence and making sure that we rebuild a solid foundation upon which to protect our youth and to provide them opportunities that they need. You know, why are these things so taboo in our community? You know, let's start with the crime aspect. And Ms. Holt, you know, feel free to jump in on this conversation with us. Dr. Outley, why does it seem that we haven't been able to slow down this crime rate?
Number one, I really think it's an economical problem, where a lot of crimes are being committed because of lack of money, good jobs, good paying jobs, fair wages. That's one thing I think.
Mm-hmm.
Gang activity is very present in our community, and then we have this don't snitch ethics on the street. When you know what's going on, you don't tell. Then the fourth thing,
until somebody in your family is impacted, and then
right.
you want somebody to tell.
Then mm-hmm. the fourth thing, I think, is a place of just trying to fit in somewhere, where the church and our homes used to be a place that people try to fit in. And in school, it was comfortable, but now we even know our schools are not safe any longer. So it's just a lot of things that contribute to the high rise of crime in our city.
You, what kind of attention do we need to put on this? Ms. Holt, you're from this area, generally.
Yes.
The West Georgia area.
Yes.
And so you've kind of grown up in this area, watching Columbus grow and the region grow. And I consider you a young professional.
Mm-hmm.
What's your outlook on this from a crime perspective? You know, is it worse than you remember, or?
It is, and I was just discussing that earlier with Dr. Ali. It's not what I remember about Columbus at all. Coming back, I moved back here from Biloxi, Mississippi, and there's a difference. But even here, that's not what I heard initially when I got here. But progressing over time, it's like it's a thing every day. And it's like you want to like, am I safe to do anything? You know, you work hard and you go do things throughout the day. You're in the community doing things. You're sowing good seeds, but then these things happen. You know, it's kind of where are the mindset of the people? What's really going on with them? And I take from the perspective that they got something going on, and has anyone paid any attention that they need some help, or right. even just a pure conversation like, hey, what's going on with you? You know, because they're acting out. And to me, that's what it is that now they're really dealing with things. Right. And now instead of someone paying attention and listening, they're going to take it at their own hands and do what they need to do, because instead of engaging one another and say, hey, let's talk about this, or what's, you know, what's happening in our community, or even with the person they're having the issue with, right. you know.
Dr. Allah, how far have you gotten with your conversations on the community level through your organization of really establishing relationships with the targeted groups? Like, if you look at the statistics around the murders that happened here, you know, there's a particular age group that's more alarming than any other age. Mm-hmm. Have we figured out a way to reach them yet?
We have not, but we've made strides, and okay. I'm grateful to say that Columbus City as a whole have embraced SAVE. Mm-hmm. We've awesome. Talked to those with the Columbus Police Department, the Sheriff, Marshal Greg Countryman.
He's awesome. I love Greg Countryman.
We're brothers
he is
and
so
sisters.
Amazing. Okay.
We work together closely, and some of the principals in the local school. So we have began to make strides, but it's such a big issue that it's going to take time.
Hey, you know, I wish somebody like a Greg Countryman had a larger platform in which he could engage, and this is not on him. Mm-mm. I'm saying I wish he had more resources, because, you know, all of us can work with good intentions, but at some point we have to face the reality of how effective we're going to be.
Yes.
Right.
And I do feel that if somebody like a Greg Countryman, who looks like, you see
yes.
where I'm going, the people that we're having the challenges with, he would have a better opportunity at reaching them.
I have seen Marshall Countryman do more with less with his department. Wow. It's shrinking and shrinking with finances.
Right.
But yet he has a 100% success rate with his junior marshal program in our school system that affect our children. Wow. In a positive way. He's done more with less because that's his heart.
And I think
that's
he awesome. Even picked up some more schools after they were dropped by other entities like MLK and places like
that. He picked them up, and one of the things that Greg is looking at doing is going into the high school, but you got to have a budget, and that'll be a year-long conversation, but we can do more yeah. if we get involved.
And see, and that's why you have to have leaders that come to the table and not have their feelings on their shoulders.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Because I'm not saying that you're not incapable. What I'm saying is, if we truly want to address this problem, let's meet the problem where it is. And if that takes a black man in a professional capacity that can relate to our younger population, let's give him the resources to walk the street.
100%.
Let's give him the resources to knock on the doors.
Absolutely.
Let's give him the resources and the ability to meet with the OGs or anybody else. I don't care who gets the credit.
Nobody gets the glory but God.
I just don't want another mother crying because they've lost their
Absolutely.
Child. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see another person on a T-shirt talking about, you know, we gonna miss Pookie or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I get tired of the other people on Facebook saying, you know, free so-and-so.
Power in numbers.
There's power in numbers. And I'm
resources.
Sorry, you were headed to something, but I just wanted to touch on that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think we see solutions in the community, but I think we're trying to be too politically correct. We're concerned about who feelings is not going to hurt. And I don't care. I really don't care about anyone's feelings. What I care about are results.
Correct. And we got to offend some people to get results.
Come on, Dr. Allah.
And we're going to have to really offend some folk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have to really become ownership of our communities again, whether we're invited to different activities or programs or arenas. Is about really getting down to the issue. We're losing too many lives in the city of Columbus, Georgia.
We're losing too many lives, and I tell you, and I don't want to rehash anything that's already been taken care of, but 2018 was a lost opportunity. And hopefully in 2020, we will get our stuff together.
We will.
We will have our people together. We will make sure folks get out and vote.
Yes.
And we will make a difference in attempting to move toward some folks with some new ideas that's willing to take a different approach and try things differently, because I don't have to remind anybody in radio land what's the definition of insanity.
Yes, sir.
But if we keep doing the same thing over and over again, don't expect different results.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And that's just the absolute truth. That's not, you know, saying anything toward anybody. That's not knocking anybody down. That's a pure assessment of what we have going on.
I agree.
Anybody who disagree with that, they're not looking at what's really happening on the streets here in Columbus, and their eyes are not open. Ms. Hope, from your perspective, you know, and considering the people that you work with, you know, through your organization, how do you see the dysfunction and the fractions that we have in our community? How is that impacting the health side of things? And on top of that, the health assessment of the community as a whole, if you get what I'm saying.
I do. A lot of times when I go out, and I'm very open to everything and what I see and what's going on, but I'm a person I observe first to see. And a lot of times it's how the message is being delivered to people. Not everybody knows those big words, not everybody, but if you meet people where they are.
Come on, somebody.
You got to meet people where they are, because if you don't, you're going to lose them. So therefore, when they came to see you or hear what you had to say, they're worse than when they came. So you have to ask them, what can I do? How can I meet you? What are some things that we can do for you? Sometimes if you assess and ask them, you're able to reach them more, and they're going to reach a few more other people, because, you know, once they find out what it is that they need to know about themselves, and even to the point sometimes finances are issues, and the fact that they don't know what resources are available to them. And that's a lot of times in the rural counties I go in, there's not a lot of resources for them, but the fact that we're there, agencies may be there, they're not susceptible to it because this is free. They're a little skeptical, so they figure ain't nothing free in life.
Right.
You know, there's nothing free. But there are resources available for people to have health issues, or they fit the criteria and things like
But we got to get them out of those everyday circumstances.
Absolutely.
I'm going to let you two have a closing word. We'll start with you, Ms. Holt, and then we'll wrap up with you, Dr. Outley.
I just want to thank you for having this moment today, because this is one of our main missions of the West Central Georgia Cancer Coalition, is to reduce the burden of cancer in the counties that we serve. We serve 11 counties here in Georgia and Lee and Russell County in Alabama. And our goal is to make sure everyone's being screened. There's a gap. We don't have the Medicaid, but we're here to fill that gap in the needs that we have. And if we don't have your need for something, we may know someone else that may do. So please give me a call. We have upcoming events for our cancer survivors. Get involved. Go to our website. It's a family event. We want those funds that we raise for our fundraisers are here to assist cancer patients in all the counties that we serve. For newly diagnosed patients that are in chemo and radiation, that just have a burden, you know, making a decision from either having treatment or paying mortgages or paying their bills just to do daily living. Those are daily living things, you know. So we're here for them in the West Central Georgia Health District and the other counties we serve.
Give us your telephone number one more time.
Telephone number is 706-660-1914.
Okay.
Anyone in the office can help you, but if I'm there, I'm there. Most of the time I'm out and about. But please give us a call if you need anything. Know of any resources you may need. I can get you to it, or I'll ask. I'll find out, you know. So thank you for having me.
Excellent.
Yes, sir. Thank you, first of all, for the platform. And this is a much-needed conversation that needs to be talked about and continue to talk about it. We're for our youth, standing against violence, education. We're here. We're going to be here. We're boots on the ground. We're behind the scene. We're in neighborhoods. We're meeting with families where somebody just got murdered, blood still on parents and mothers' hands. We're there, and that's what we're here for. God ordained. This is a God thing, not a personal thing. I gave my personal cell that I can be reached at 706-442 3963. It just rang while we was in the interview, so I do answer my personal cell for those who are in need of our organization. So I'm grateful that you opened up this platform. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, ladies, I just want to thank you again for being here, and I want to thank you for the work that you do. Just from this brief conversation, I can tell that both of you are extremely capable and talented and professional and articulate, and probably can be somewhere in some big corporate job making a lot of dollars. However, you choose to live part of your life giving service to others, and I think that is so amazing, and I think you are amazing for that. So, Tanetta Holt, who is also good friends of my wife, Dr. Chastity Reese,
yes,
and Dr. Pastor Outley, this has been a wonderful, amazing conversation, and thank you so much for your time again today. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation. We're going to keep it coming. Each and every Sunday, we're going to have a conversation about what's going on in our community. We may step on some toes. We may push the limit. But as long as we're speaking the truth, that's all that should matter. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Have a good day.
The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.